You have to understand, I cut my teeth in ministry with people like George, with Rebecca, with Anna, with Fighter. Like every leader you see here, we all started where you at. We were right where you at. And so to see God do such incredible things in the house of God, I'm just so honored to be here. And I just have to let you know that God's faithful, God's able, God's good. And he remains good. And when it's not singing about something that we don't know of or something we read about in the Word of God, we're singing about an experience that we've had with God. And how many of you have experienced the goodness of God in your lives? Can I show our hands? Oh, come on. Come on. That's awesome. That's awesome. But tonight, before I start, I want to tell you my first experience when I went to America. I get to America. I land. I'm so excited. I'm full of just excitement. America. And so I remember landing in DFW, and forgive me, this accent is not fake. This is a history. It's 10 years. It's been 10 years since I left. And so we land in America, and my friend Jane picks me up from the airport. And as we're driving off from the airport, she asks me, "Faustin, what's your favorite dessert?" I'm like, "That's easy. Cheesecake." And she's like, "Oh, you love cheesecakes?" I was like, "Yeah, I love cheesecake." She's like, "Ooh, I have the place for you." And so she drives me into this massive affluent, like a neighborhood like Runda. And she drives me into this neighborhood, and I'm like, "Bro, Foster, we're no longer in Kansas." Like, it looked like something I had never seen before. I'm looking at everything. The houses are bigger than I've ever seen. You're just watching with your teeth. Eh? Toko America. I'm telling you, the streets were so clean. Like, I was scared to leave my car. And nobody looked like me. I didn't see even one black person. And so she drives me to this restaurant called Cheesecake Factory. And so when we get, we got a fan. We got a fan of Cheesecake Factory. And so we drive, we walk into Cheesecake Factory. The line's long. And so she says, "Faustin, go to the counter and order. I'll come back. I'm using the bathroom. I'll come back." So I get into line. And as I get to the front of line, I'm like, "Where's my friend Jane? She hasn't come yet." But so I get to my turn, and the lady is so polite, and she turns to me and says, "Sir, welcome to Cheesecake Factory. What can I get you?" And so I looked at the lady and I said, "Cheesecake." And so she looked at me and she said, "That's great, sir. What kind of cheesecake would you like me to get you?" So I looked at the lady again and I said, "I want cheesecake." And she said, "Sir, I understand that you want," she said, "but what kind of cheesecake would you like?" And at this point, I'm like, maybe she doesn't understand my Kenyan accent. So I politely and slowly say, "I want cheesecake." And now she's looking at me, I'm looking out, the line's getting longer. And so I feel embarrassed and I say, "Hey ma'am, can I just wait for my friend and I'll come back and order?" She says, "Fine." So I stand to the side. My friend Jane walks out of the bathroom and she says, "Faustin, did you get you some cheesecake?" I said, "Jane, the lady wouldn't serve me cheesecake." And Jane gets super upset, grabs me by the hand and drags me to the front of the line, and she bangs on the door. "Boom, lady, my friend just landed from Africa and it is his first time in America. And he just told me that you refused to sell him cheesecake." And now we've created a commotion. Everybody's looking at us. And the lady, poor girl, she's like, "Ma'am, I am so sorry. I asked a gentleman what kind of cheesecake he wanted, and he did not respond." So Jane looks at me and says, "Faustin, what kind of cheesecake do you want?" And I look at Jane. I say, "I want cheesecake." And quickly Jane realizes, maybe Faustin doesn't know there are other kinds of cheesecake. And so she orders a menu and she brings me to the side and she says, "Faustin, there are 32 different kinds of cheesecake." And it's at this moment I start to cry. You mean to tell me for 30 years I never knew there's 32 different kinds of cheesecake? But at the same time, I'm so excited, the 32 types of cheesecake. I love America. And I was so excited. Why do I share this story with you? You see, a lot of us have experienced a type of way with God. And if we're not careful, if we don't open ourselves up to all that God has in store for you, all you will live out of here is having experienced one type of cheesecake. And so I want to encourage you tonight, as I speak, as I talk, the Word of God is life-changing. But you have to be open to receive the Word of God. Because Scripture tells us that certain times a word will be spoken, seed will be sown, and some of that seed will land on good soil. Some will land on hard ground. Some will be eaten up with ravens. And so tonight I am praying and I'm asking the Holy Spirit, would you open us up? And would the ground that you are depositing this message be good ground? And so with that said, I want us to turn to today's verse of scripture. It's coming from 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. And I love this verse of scripture. It's so powerful and so effective. So would you turn with me? Is it up there? Awesome. 1 Kings 19 to 21. Could we all read it together? So Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. All right, let's say it together, man. Everybody, quiet. All right, let's say it together. One, two, three. So Elijah went out and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. Let's go to the next one. Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah, and said to him, first, let me go and kiss my mother and father goodbye, and then I will go with you. Elijah replied, go on back, but think about what I have done to you. So Elisha returned to his oxen and slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant. Would you close your eyes and let's pray for the word of God. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you, God, the Lord, you are such a good God, that you would give us your word, God, that we'd be able to digest and, God, to be able to grow in it. Would this word find good ground, King of Glory, and would you yield some incredible fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Help me as I deliver this word to the glory and honor of God, and the church can say a good amen. So I got to tell you a little bit about my story. I don't know if Pastor Kev has told you his testimony, but our testimony is similar. It's incredible that God blessed us to be twins, and we experienced our lives in the same way. And so growing up, I was raised in a very Christian home. And my mom and my father were just incredible human beings, loved Jesus, radical for the faith. In fact, waking up every morning was my dad speaking in tongues. That's how we woke up. My dad, every day at 5 o'clock, woke up and you just heard, ra-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, and that was your indication it's time to go to school. And so my mom, full of faith, always radical, doing incredible radical things. She brought people home. She prayed for the sick. When she heard someone was dead, man, she wants to go pray for them. Radical. And this was my upbringing. Our home, we were brought in very humble beginnings, but our home was happy. Our home was full of joy. Man, there was so much expectation. There was so much joy. My dad would kiss us all the time on the cheek. My dad loved to hold our hands. My dad was different from other dads. He always told us he loved us. He always looked us in his eyes and called us his beloved son. And so my home life was very rich. In fact, I knew at a young age I was going to do incredible things for God. And then at the age of 8, my dad and my mom wanted a better life for my brother and I, so they sent us to boarding school. And I remember when we got to boarding school, every boarding person that comes into school, they assigned a student to help them acclimate to the school life. And I remember the boy that was assigned to us begins to molest me. And it broke my life. And that bright, shining star that used to be fostering started to get dimmer. And I couldn't understand that for 1 year he molested me. And I started to have issues with God. In fact, it got so bad, I started having issues with my belief in God. I was mad at God. I was mad at my parents for sending us to boarding school. But most of all, I was mad at myself because I didn't know how to defend myself. In fact, it got so bad, I didn't know who to tell. I was so scared, I couldn't even share it with Kevin because I was ashamed. I didn't want to be labeled a certain way. And I just remember just the joy, the anticipation, and the growth, the childhood that I grew up in just became dim. And then I started to numb the pain with drugs. And I remember by 10 years old, I could drink a whole crate of beer and just be able to walk. By 11, we're hanging out with prostitutes. By 12, I'm trying anything to numb the pain. In fact, Pastor Kevin almost killed me one day because I used to take any dares. Just to just feel alive, to feel excitement. And so one day he tried to dare us to eat this root, and it turned out to be extremely poisonous, and I had to be rushed to the hospital because I almost died. Like, true story. But I was trying to numb this pain. And that which was meant to be life-giving, the call of my life, man, I was walking away from it. And I remember at 16 years old, and that's why I thank God for this church. Two girls from Nairobi Lighthouse Church met us at a bus station. And they looked at us and says, "Hey, what's your name?" And I said, "Kevin and Faustin." And they were pretty, and they're like, "Yo, what's up?" And I'm like, "Hey, y'all want to come hang out with us?" I was like, "Yeah." And they walk us into a cell group. True story. And Kevin and I are like, "Man, this is different." But everybody's dancing. Everybody's having a good time. We're drinking so much. No instruments. Everybody's just having fun. But there's no alcohol. Which just was just off. I was like, "What is wrong with these people?" But everybody was happy. And I remember drinking juice and eating cookies. And everybody's fun and excited. And then we went home. And the next day, the girls came up to us. And then it was that season we had something called Extreme Weekend. Do y'all remember Extreme Weekend? I mean, that was City Lights' like big concert. And remember, they invited us to this concert. And beknownst to me and Kevin, we're in different sides of the auditorium. 8,000 people in there. What? Yes, Kevin wants detail. I don't have time for the detail. Just know, we were in two different places. We're serving as counselors because we had to lie so we could be part of Extreme Weekend. And so we knew the talk. I knew how to pray for people, but I wasn't following Jesus. But I could tell you about Jesus because my parents raised us in the Christian home. And so I just remember we're in two different sides and Evangelist John was preaching. And I remember giving my life to Jesus that day. And Kevin gave his life to Jesus. And I remember walking home and each and I was like, "Dude, I gave my life to Jesus." He gave his life to Jesus. Well, what an awesome opportunity for us. And from that day forward, something began to light up inside of me. The pain that I was going through started to lift off. Come on, you can say an amen. And God started to do something in our lives. And I remember the joy that was in my heart. And all of a sudden, the call of God in my life began to come back to me. Because I knew at a young age, God had something special for me. You see, when my parents were preaching around the country, I knew something, we had to inherit that. They were going before us, and something was happening in my life, but the enemy tried with everything he had to take it away from us. But I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for the two girls who met us at the bus stop. I thank God for Nairobi Lighthouse Church. For putting up such an awesome concert that changed the lives of so many young people in that season. I thank God for our leadership. I thank God for everybody who said yes to their call. Because of their yes to their call, this young man who was 16 years old found his way back home. Come on, you can give a good amen to that. And so back to our text this evening. A man by the name Elisha. We found Elisha in verse 19 of 1 Kings 19. Dude's taking care of his dad's family business. In fact, scripture says his dad was very successful. We find him with 12 oxen. And the Bible tells us when you study about these 12 oxen, it's not just 12 cows. It's the size of like what you think like a John Deere tractor. He had 12 of those. He was taking care of his dad's business. Dude was doing great. You can even say Elisha's trajectory was success. He was bawling. And all of a sudden, the man of God shows up. The scripture says Elijah takes off his jacket, places it on Elisha, and walks away. And you see, just like Elisha, young Faustin was reminded of his calling at 16 years old. You see, in each and every one of us, there's a calling. And a time will come, and I tell you, a time will come, where God will speak that calling to you. You see, right now, you're at the tender age where you're trying to discover who you are. What am I going to do at school? I'm with my friend, I can't remember my name, Pastor Chola's daughter, Zingo. I'm with Zingo, and I'm asking Zingo, "What are you going to do with your future?" She's like, "I want to be a musician." A lot of you here can tell me, "I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer." You're trying to discover who you are. But a time will come where God will begin to whisper into your ears, "I have something more for you." And she's just like Elisha. I remember the day God called me. I was 16. We'll never forget it. I was a few months old in Christendom, and I was excited, and I was standing in faith. And I remember watching Evangelist John, man of God, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I was looking at his life, and I was like, "Man, that dude's radical. That dude just loves to talk about Jesus all the time. Like every time, when we're in the streets, he wants to talk about Jesus. When we walk into a restaurant, he wants to lead someone to Jesus. I was like, man, that's too much. I mean, I love Jesus and all, but man, I don't want to talk about him all the time. And immediately, I remember thinking that same thought. This inkling in my heart, it was heavy. I knew what it was. And I tried to ignore it as much as I could, but I couldn't. And all I heard was, you are going to be an evangelist. I was like, Because you have to understand, I had dreams too. I wanted to be a pilot. I wanted to fly across the world. I wanted to make money, lots of money. I wanted to do great things. I wanted to make sure that I took my family away from all that we were going through. I wanted to do amazing, fun stuff. But when I heard the call of being an evangelist, I was like, bro, there goes the dream. There goes the fun. Now it's going to be full. There goes the money. There goes the awkward moments. Because every time I saw Evangelist John, he was always being put in awkward situations, having to share the gospel. And just like Elisha, the verse of scripture tells us, when Elijah put that coat on him, he knew exactly what was happening. The call came calling to his doorstep. So just like you and I know we are being raised to do something great with your lives. But I want to let you know, your education system, the government, whatever your parents have dreams of you, there's a greater call over your life by God. And God has good things in store for you. I'm not saying everything you're dreaming about is bad. No. I'm just saying there's more. And a time is coming when we will hear the call. And the question now remains, will you answer the call? Which leads me to my next point. A time is coming where you'll have to make a choice. In verse 20 of 1 Kings 19, it says, Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah and said to him, first let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you. Elijah replied, go on back, but think about what I have done to you. You see, God will never force you about the plans that he has in store for you. God will give you a choice. God will come and present something to you, because that's why scripture, you read things like God would say like, hey, I'm giving you life or death. Choose life. Oh, hey, who will you serve on this day, me or something else? God always gives us a choice. What are you going to do with what God gives you? He'll never force you. He'll never demand anything from you, but he will ask something of you. In my case, when God called me, I said no. I wish I was holy. I wish I was spiritual. I just said, I ain't doing it. I'm going to pursue piloting. I'm going to pursue this because I wanted to travel the world. But I knew what I knew that God said. And every night I went to sleep, I prayed, God bless me with money so I could go to flying school. But I knew that's not what God had in store for me. And so I got creative in my prayers. If you let me go to flying school, I will serve you. If you let me join KQ as a flight attendant, God, I promise you, I'm yours. I started negotiating with God, but I knew what he had told me. I knew what he had asked of me. And just like Elisha, he asked Elijah, can I go back? And at least let me go kiss my mom and dad. But I love Elijah's response to Elisha. Remember what this means. And tonight I just want to take a moment and remind you what the call means for you and I. You see, the person calling you is just not any mere man. The person calling you is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The person calling you has done incredible things in this earth. He has raised the dead. He has cast out demons. He has healed the sick. He has done incredible things. He has saved humanity. Over 2,000 years ago, you and I are now sitting here because of the acts that he did that far ago. The man that is calling you has great things in his repertoire. He's not just any ordinary man. And just like Elisha, he knew who Elijah was, because Elijah wasn't just any mere prophet. Elijah had raised the dead. Elijah had parted waters. Elijah had called fire from heaven and it consumed 450 prophets of Baal. Elijah was somebody. But I'm here to tell you, There's somebody even greater calling you to something. And he is trustworthy. And whatever he's calling you into, you can trust. And sometimes it may feel like it's taking you away from the dreams that you have. But I'm here to encourage you. Trust him anyway. He knows the desires of your heart, the Bible says. And he is the rewarder of the desires of your heart. But I just wanted to take a moment to remind you who's asking you to do what he's asking you to do. Jesus Christ himself is calling each and every one of us to do something with our lives. And now it is upon you to either make the right choice or a different choice. Which leads me to a third point. Commit. See, verse 21, the Bible says, so Elisha returned to his oxen and slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah and his assistants. This is so radical. So Elisha finally made a decision. And this leads me to the title of today's message, Go All In. Elisha made a decision. And his decision was so radical that he takes his dad's business and he burns it up. He makes sure there's nothing to go back to. Can you imagine burning down your dad's business? Can you imagine? No wonder he had to run after Elijah. I can't go back home. They're going to kill me. He made sure there is nothing to go back to. He decided that I am going to go all in with this thing. And if I'm going all in, I cannot have anything to look back to. Because everything that remains is in front of me. And a time comes when you and I have to commit, whether we're in this for real or we're not, that we can't mess around either putting one leg in and one leg out. That maybe I'm going to come to third Thursday, but Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm elsewhere. I'm living a different life. I don't know if you can sense the world that we live in, the times that we're living in. Matthew 24, Jesus talks about the end times, that you're going to see rumors of wars. You're going to see earthquakes. You're going to see so much devastation. And what is our world going through right now? In each and every one of your minds, with the rain going, you're like, will we make it home? Because now, the rains are now, it's no longer a threat. It's like real. Kukinyesha ni kubaya. The times we're living in is demanding of us to make a decision as believers. Are we going to do what God has called us to do? Because here's my encouragement to you. Ever since I said yes, I'm not here to tell you that I made millions. Yet. I'm going to come back. Still talking with the Lord about that. But I have traveled the world. I have done incredible things for Christ. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen legs literally pop out of someone's leg, from someone's hip. I've seen a dead person come to life. I've experienced something in God that I cannot even begin to explain to you. I've seen demons flee so many times that it still gets me until this day. I have seen lost people come to Jesus in the thousands. I've seen thousands of people in a moment receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, this journey God has brought me through since I was 16 years old has been amazing. Yes, it has had its challenges. But I'm telling you, in comparison to what I have been able to experience in Christ Jesus, I will never give it up for anything. That I am so committed to Jesus now than I ever was because of all that he has done. And I'm here to encourage you. I am not special. There's nothing special between us. There's nothing special about Rebecca. All that is special is that I said yes to a living Christ. That I said I'm going to follow him wherever he goes. And whatever he asks me to be, wherever he says I go, I will go. That's why we're going to Kilgore's. Because God asked us to go. Doesn't matter how a living experience will be. I am committed to the living Christ, that whatever he asks of me, I will say yes. And I want to encourage you, it is time for us to commit. And I'm so speaking to your age group right now, because the world is demanding so much from you. It wants you to follow one way or the other. It's making you make hard decisions. But I'm here to tell you, listen to the voice of Almighty God. Because he has a plan, he has a purpose for your life. And he wants to take you somewhere. And he needs to take you somewhere. and there's need of you. Could you imagine? What if, and this is something I ask myself all the time when I go out to preach. What if I am preaching to the last group of people that after I preach to them, Jesus comes back? How exciting would that be? It's like the guy who kicks the final goal at a World Cup. That dude's going to be famous forever. For at least 4 years, we're going to be talking about that guy. Can you imagine being the guy who led the final 1,000 people to Jesus? Then boom, we get to go. Because we are living in the last days. I don't know if it's the last day. I can't tell you the time or the framework. But Jesus said in Matthew 24:8 that these are the beginning of the birth pains. That soon and very soon our King is coming home. And it is time for us to commit. Am I in or am I in? No two-stepping. You're either in or you're in. So with that said, I want to use an illustration to just close my message tonight. I love illustrations. It's not original with me. Kevin told me to say that. It's not my illustration. But after I say it 3 times, it's mine. So imagine this rope is your life. But all of this is your life for eternity. Do you see it? Man, this is a long rope. But that's how long eternity is. It keeps going and going and going. And then when you think it's done, it just keeps going. And going and going. When you're like, bro, that's a long time. Yes, it keeps going and going and going. That's your life. But your life on earth is this black part. This is your life on earth in comparison to eternity. And what society and the world will teach you is like, man, when you're going to be born, it's going to be awesome. Take a lot of pictures. Give you a name that nobody knows about. That's my kids. And then you're going to like go to school. And after school, you'll be like, man, you need to find a career. So you're going to go to college so you can fulfill that career. Then when you go after your career, you now got to make money because you got to pay all the debt that you incurred in your college years. Then after you finish that, you're going to get married and you have to have a nice wedding and a big wedding. And then you're going to have a car and you have to buy a house. And then after that, you're going to work, raise your kids and work. And then when you get here towards the end of life, then you're going to start enjoying your life because now you have money. You're no longer in debt. And then all of a sudden you die. And in the span of eternity, so you remember how long eternity is? It just keeps going and going. The decisions you make here will determine how you live here. You see how important it is that you understand the call that God has called over your life. Do you see how important it is to make a choice to follow Jesus? Do you see how important it is to commit? Because whatever you do here, and hear me and hear me well, I don't care what you've heard, there's an afterlife. And whatever you invested in this time frame, look how small it is in comparison to eternity, will determine everything that you get to experience after that. That's why I told the Lord, I don't need to make millions here. I'd rather store up treasure in heaven where the moths, the things cannot take it away. I want to get to heaven and not just be excited about the mansion, because that would be dope. But I want to have treasure in heaven so when I see Jesus every day, I've got a gift for him. Because you know, when you meet the King, I'm telling you, when you meet the King, you will want to give him something. And how sad will it be when you have nothing to give him and you have to see him every day for eternity? I know there won't be any whipping in heaven. But for that moment, you will have wished, I invested heavily in kingdom stuff. So that when I get to heaven, man, it's going to be good. You're going to be looking for me. Come look, find me. Because I've been on this journey with the Lord for a minute. And I'm determined with all my heart that I'm going to fulfill everything God has called me to fulfill. I'm going to give it all. And now I'm leading my family to give it all. I'm teaching my kids what it means to sacrifice in comparison to obedience. What it means to hear the voice of God when you have to give up something. What it means to dream about something when God calls you and you're like, I'll change my dream for you, Lord. What it means to fall in love with Jesus every single day so that you can do exactly what he has called us to do. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? In this room, you've heard me speaking and you're like, man, God spoke to me about something. There's a call on my life, but I've been fighting it because I don't just know how it's going to work. It seems hard. It seems difficult. Some things feel like, man, it's just out there. But I want to make a decision tonight. I want to make the decision that, God, I'm in. I'm going all in with you. I'm not going to hold back. I'm not going to give up. I'm just going to go all in with you. I want to make it serious with you. Maybe you're in here and you're like, man, I don't even know what a calling is. But I would love to find out. And maybe you want to hear God speak to you tonight and affirm something in you. And that feeling, you feel like, I know what it is. That's him. But he will not force you to walk that way. You will have to make that decision on your own. So if you're in here, would you raise your hand if you want for me to pray with you and to ask the Holy Spirit to help you make the right decision so that you can go hard after God, that you can give it up and burn it all up like Elisha did and say, God, I am coming after you with everything I've got. Would you raise your hand so I could pray with you tonight? Thank you for those hands. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. Come on, let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for everything that has been spoken tonight. I thank you for the privilege and the opportunity, God, to follow hard after you. I hear the calling, Lord, and now I'm making a decision that, Lord, I will follow you for the rest of my life. And whatever it is that you're calling me to do, God, whatever it is that you're asking me to do, Father, Lord, I will run hard after you. With everything that is in my heart, Lord, I say yes. And so, God, I pray in the name of Jesus, would you continue to speak this word into my heart? Would you continue to help me make the right decisions and to walk in the right way, God? And would you help me, God, be faithful to the very end and endure in any circumstance so I could be just like what you've called me to be. Father, we thank you and we bless you. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen.